Liquid Lounge Radio. It's your man DJ Metro hanging out in the studio with me today is Mr. Chris Dudley. How's it going, Chris?
Good, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tell the people a little bit about you.
Well, my name is Chris Dudley. I go by Dud. It's not like in terms of a firecracker that didn't go off. It's just half my last name. But I am the creative director for Chris Dudley Art, and I've been doing art professionally for about a little over 25 years.
All right. So when and where did you find your interest in art?
Probably, man, before, during elementary school, honestly. I went to Madison Park Elementary, and I often tell the story of how I had a piece of artwork that was selected for a little art exhibition at Grand Rapids Art Museum for elementary school kids. Mm-hmm. And when I went to see the exhibition, it just blew my mind away.
Okay.
And that just planted that seed. And when I saw how good the other grade levels were, it didn't discourage me.
Okay.
It made me want to get better.
Okay.
And so that just kind of sparked it right there.
Okay. Okay. So after seeing that exhibition and you had that spark in you all of a sudden, what was your first project upon trying to really dive into it?
Well, from there, it was just about getting better at drawing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until a little bit later in my teen years that I started getting into projects, per se. One of the first projects was when everybody was like decorating overalls.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I with a permanent marker.
Okay.
On one leg, I drew Michael Jordan, and on the other leg, it was D. Brown. It was like 1991. He had just won Slam Dunk Contest, but I did it for a friend.
Okay.
It was Rodney Perez.
Okay, D. Brown, was it Celtics or?
Yep, Celtics.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Huh. Okay. And then from there on, so your art, is it all in training or is it just self-taught or?
A lot of it is, well, I would say the majority of it is self-taught, man. It's been hard learning how to draw. Just keep it real. It's been hard. A lot of people want to say it's like God-given talent. I always tell people if expert is number 10, people that have some talent or some natural abilities, and it's not knowing how to draw, but you may naturally be more patient, which means you're going to put more work into it.
Right.
But those people start out at a 2 or 3. That's it. They still got to put in the work to get higher with their ability.
Okay. Yeah. So do you have a particular style that you're more engaged with than others?
I do have a style. Your style can kind of naturally develop this over years. I didn't know I had a style till somebody, a relative, actually told me. She saw some work and had knew it was mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I do draw and create art in different mediums, digital, and also I do pencil. Pencil stuff I do is mainly realism. But digital, as of late, probably the last 10 years, I've been doing a lot of children's book illustration and illustration projects. We just finished one for GRPS. Got some other stuff in the works, working on a lot of children's books as well with authors.
So, digital art, mm-hmm. how did you get into that?
Wow. I had dabbled with it. I bought an iPad and had dabbled with it a little bit. It was okay. Lo and behold, I was hooping one morning. I used to go play basketball every morning, like early in the morning, and I snapped my Achilles. And so I was laid up for some months. And during that time, I played around more and more with digital art, just kind of learning, understanding the layers and all of that. And it ended up leading to me doing a sketch for somebody, just randomly giving it to them online.
Mm-hmm.
And they later asked me to do a book. And I did the book and kind of liked it, but I was still learning about illustration, and then it kind of blew up from there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned iPad. Now, do you prefer an iPad over the Wacom tablet or?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I do. The majority of my work is done on the iPad Pro, the larger,
mm-hmm.
larger version. And, post-production, well, once the piece is done, it has to be taken. My assistant takes it into InDesign, and you know, you get the colors right, get it ready for print. But iPad all the way. I like it because it's mobile.
Gotcha. Okay, so you're based here in Grand Rapids. So correct. I know that you did a project with Marcel Gamble.
Yes.
How did that come about?
That came about, he needed someone for a, there was an animation project that he had going on. And so he kind of brought me on board. We worked things out and we were starting on that. Then some things fell through with the animator. So he had to re-up on getting the animator and so forth. But when that happened, he kind of pivoted and had a book idea. So we went with the book idea and it was a very successful project. He sold a lot of copies. The book is still selling. And if I could say another interesting story mm-hmm. with that is that when I read the manuscript for Marcel Gamble, there was one of them. It was the book is called Guess What I Can Be. So it's about different professions. And
right.
One of them was I can be a dancer. And so when I'm reading the manuscript, I look and see that because images start popping into my head when I'm reading the manuscript. And if it doesn't, I usually don't take it.
Okay.
That's just how it
okay.
works. And so for dancer, I immediately thought I'm going to do hip hop, mm-hmm. like break dancing.
Okay.
And so when it came to that illustration, I went break dancing, the cardboard box, you know, Alfonso breaking board type stuff, the little character, the main characters break dancing on that. And on the wall, I put an old school breaking poster. So you right. got Turbo, Ozone, and Kelly, or Special right. K, right? And from that, after the success of that project, later on, a year or more later, after that project was done, Michael Chambers ended up seeing that illustration. Also, who is it? Robert Smooth, I think it is. He saw that. He was a manager for Adolfo Quiñones.
Okay.
Or Shabadoo.
Yep.
Sadly, you know, we lost him in the last couple of years. Shabadoo, and as well as Bruno Falcon. He
right.
just passed the other year too. I mean, you know, legendary guys in the breaking world, pioneers of it. But at any rate, so Michael Chambers saw it, and we just were kind of chatting back and forth a little bit, and then we started throwing around some ideas, and I developed a character, because his street name was Boogaloo Shrimp.
Right.
And so I developed a character called Lil Boogaloo Shrimp, so a little kid version of a dancer, and we started batting forth the ideas as far as a book and how to incorporate breakdancing, because there is no book like that around. And so we came up with the idea, and actually I wrote it, so I'm going to hit my author's stride here.
Okay.
And it's called Lil Boogaloo Shrimp and the Clean Sweep.
Okay.
And so that's the project now, and there's so much interest on it, it's crazy. I can't get it done quick enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So all because someone saw a poster that you did from another illustration,
yes.
they hit you up for just in conversation,
yeah.
and you guys came up with an idea
mm-hmm.
to put another book together.
Yeah.
That has to be awesome.
Yes.
That yeah. is...
That's cool. He's already booked for... Chambers is already booked for a lot of conventions, and like they're waiting to see the book.
Right.
Yeah.
So the interest is there. So you're looking at this to go nationwide, worldwide at least?
Worldwide. Because like locally, I think like Breaking came out in 84, 83.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like 9, right?
Okay.
And so, you know, it was blew up everywhere around that time. But then it kind of faded in the States a little bit.
Right.
Internationally, blowing up still. And I think in 2023 or 24, it's an Olympic sport. So
right.
it hasn't gone anywhere.
Right.
It hasn't gone anywhere. So
right. So yes. how do you think that would fare as an Olympic sport? I mean, at one point they had, what was the latest before this, the newest Olympic sport? Do you recall?
You know what? I don't know which one was added prior to.
Okay. So it escapes me at the moment,
yeah.
but I'm just wondering how the people will respond to this type of an event.
You know what? I think it will be extremely well received because there are the Red Bull games, well, not games, but competition.
Right.
A lot of the dance shows.
Uh-huh.
The break dancing and always just off the chain, basically. You have ones doing moves like the Jabberwockies, which have blown up. And other groups that use b-boying and break dancing. So I think it's going to be extremely successful because there's such a, I want to say a niche market, but mm-hmm. the niche market is huge of people that still love it, still getting into it, boys and girls, and the athleticism is insane. So it's going to be popular.
So I actually find myself, as I'm scrolling through Instagram sometimes, mm-hmm. I'll see some of these dance competitions or what have you. And one that I'm particularly drawn to would be remember the show What's Happening?
Yes.
So there's a bunch of young guys that's doing all that type of dance.
Yes.
And I'm just like, I get stuck on it. I'm like, because these dudes are pretty smooth, you know?
Exactly.
So it's exciting. So just like so I grew up in the 80s or what have you.
Okay.
So all the break dancing and all the flips, the turns,
yep.
and all of that stuff, I still watch it.
Yeah.
When I get a chance to, you know, I still watch it.
We get hurt trying to do it now, right?
yes. I know I would. I don't know about you. I see you out there dunking, so I don't know, you know.
Quite.
All right. Keep it right here. Liquid Lounge Radio, hanging out with Chris Dudley. We'll be right back. Liquid Lounge Radio, Chris Dudley, the world famous artist, still hanging out with me here in the studio. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, good, man. Again, appreciate you having me, man. It's fun.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So you have, we were talking about books and illustrations. So you have one book illustration or two under your belt right now?
No.
Just one? Maybe more.
Six? I think six. Because we've done five during the pandemic.
Okay.
Yeah. So I want to say it's six or seven.
Okay. Six or seven illustrations under your book and one as an author.
Coming up. Yeah.
Coming
actually,
up.
I've written three books, but I've been illustrating for other authors.
Uh-huh.
And so I've kind of blocked out some time to work on some of my books as well. I'm still illustrating for others, but.
Right.
Yeah.
So how's that transition? Going from illustrator to author, what are your thought processes on putting your own material out?
I think it's going to be cool, because you control the entire creative process. I mean, I really enjoy creating for authors, and every author that I've worked with, Marcel, as we mentioned earlier, there's quite a few that I've worked with. They've given me a lot of creative freedom, so I love it. And they let me almost do what I want to do as long as I hit tell the story. But being able to really totally control everything is nice.
Okay.
It's nice.
Okay. So tell me about some of the other projects that you have done here in the city of Grand Rapids.
We just finished up kind of a big project with, it's a major thing with GRPS. I can't share a lot of it now. It's going to be revealed on the 21st, I believe. They have a program that actually is a finalist with Start Garden in the demo day. And so that project just finished up. And we do logos for a lot of local businesses. Actually, two or three of our clients actually are finalists for Start Garden. So they're going for that $20,000.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're rooting for them.
Okay, okay. So I know you did, I know one particular project you did was the Mount Rushmore, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Kendra. Mount Litmore.
Mount Litmore. Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how was it doing that project? Because I know it's very detailed.
Yeah. That was a really cool project. Kendra, she's so lovely, man. She's fun to work with as well. She runs We Are Lit, but also Books in the City.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to me with an idea of four of her favorite authors. And she wanted to create a Mount Rushmore look with them. And I thought about it that, okay, we could do that. But the hard part or the challenging part was getting the right angles of the faces so
right.
that it matches right. Mount Rushmore.
Right.
So some of the images I had to kind of flip to position, but then also be able to illustrate them where they look like stone.
Right.
So I did a lot of research on Mount Rushmore and the rock masses and how to, you know, how to do that. But it ended up coming out and it's a huge piece that's, it hangs in the Grand Rapids African American Art Museum because there's a bookstore inside
right.
of there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I want to go back to some of the technical stuff. So you say you use an iPad and learning the layers and those type of things. So in your toolbox, what would be one thing that you absolutely had to have other than, I guess it all would have to go with the iPad, but other than the iPad?
Well, you need the Apple Pencil.
Okay.
Yeah, Apple Pencil. And Procreate is especially mobile version, probably as close as you're going to get to Photoshop.
Okay.
And again, we have, with my business, we have Adobe CC. So we've got the whole Creative Cloud suite.
Right.
But the mobility of Procreate is unmatched for me. I'm traveling a lot and so forth. So we do get into Photoshop and using the Creative Suite. But when I'm on the go, it's all iPad and Procreate.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Those three things. iPad, Apple Pencil, Procreate.
Okay. So right now we're in the art prize season. Mm-hmm. Have you ever involved yourself with art prize? And if not, do you plan on doing it sometime in the future?
No, I have not. Generally around this time every year, I've been booked with work, and it's the same this year. I would love to do so, but it just hasn't worked out. I did have the privilege a couple years back, pre-pandemic, I got invited to teach an art class during Art Prize at the Feds Gallery. So that was a real, real treat. Got a chance to talk with a lot of people and show some of the fundamentals of drawing.
Okay, so you being an artist, what do you think about art classes in school? Do you have a pro or con against it, or do you think it's...
A pro, man. A pro. It's kind of like how, like, some schools are losing funding for right. sports.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of schools are losing funding for those elective classes. So right. art as well. And it's interesting that you mentioned that about school, because when I was at Feds Gallery teaching, and I have done a lot of tutoring, private tutoring of art as well, where parents and others have hired me to help them to get better or help their kids to do so. Mm-hmm. And when I was at Feds Gallery, there were some folks there, a little bit my senior, and a lot of people always say, you got to have the natural talent, natural ability. I can't draw, you know, a straight line, right? And I get it. I get it. You know, if someone's decent at it, it looks like they're light years ahead of you. But I broke it down like this, is that everybody learns how to read, write, and do math. And you start at zero.
Right.
With no reference, no nothing. And what this, where this hit me, man, is that when I was teaching my daughters, I got three girls, and I was teaching them how to read and write. And I thought about how confusing it was. But we all know how to do it as adults.
Right.
And we expect them to learn.
Right, exactly.
But what hit me, man, is that the reason why they learn it is we make them do it for 13 years.
Right.
If you made somebody take art class, drawing,
mm-hmm.
for 13 years, they got graded on it every year, and you had to get a passing grade.
Right.
Everybody would leave high school being able to draw as well as they can read, write, and do math.
Right. That's a great analogy, yeah. actually.
And I have yet to have somebody refute that.
Right.
Because they see then it makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
So you can learn how to draw, man.
Right. Well, actually... I used to draw before I picked up the camera.
Okay.
So I was an art student, and okay. I've always looked at art and appreciated it.
Yeah.
So from the time I was, however, so I was that guy that coloring book wise, mm-hmm. I didn't do this.
Okay.
I did this.
Oh, gotcha.
So everything was neat, yeah, in line, linear, inside okay. the border. Nothing was out of place. But then when I picked up the camera at 16, I mean, I finished my art classes, okay. but when I picked up that camera at 16, I just had a light bulb just went off, and I just went from there. So, but yeah, so I asked about the schools because I know that they're taking art out of a lot of schools and stuff, you yes. know? So, and it's one thing that I actually love, mm-hmm. you know, I love anything that's creative, but I do love the arts because that's where yeah. I started. It's yeah. with the drawing and the paintings, and I tell Ely, I say, I'm gonna pick up this paintbrush again.
She's gonna teach me how to paint too.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people actually get into it, mm-hmm. you know, and I know some that's just crazy great.
Yes.
And I know some that's just crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So okay, so where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself doing more instruction with kids?
Yes. To a degree. I can only allot some time for it because right. of the projects that we have. And I think I told you, man, I started this when I was 18. It was Dudley Graphics.
Okay.
And I could draw okay.
Right.
Not where I am at this point. And later I changed the name to Chris Dudley Art, and we kind of changed the focus, and things have kind of grown now I'm the creative director because I've got a little team now.
Okay.
And so I can't just veer off into, I'm going to start teaching a lot.
Right.
And so we do some tutoring, and we actually got booked for some classes. And so we're doing a little bit of that.
Okay. So if you had to create, I'm going back to Art Prize.
Okay.
If you had to create something for Art Prize in 3 weeks, just in your head,
okay,
what would it be?
Well, you know what? It would be the project that we may be doing. It's not particularly for Art Prize, but it's for the city of Grand Rapids. I can't tell a lot about it just yet because we just put in a proposal and so forth for this. But it would be family and children oriented.
Okay.
Because I love illustrating that, but I would do that on a larger scale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it would be big.
Okay. Yeah. So moving into creative director, tell me about your team.
Well, I had to first bring on an admin, and I'm a huge proponent now. I remember watching, I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm drawing and so forth, and I realized that I don't have the time to do certain things. And it pulls you creatively,
mm-hmm.
having to invoice, having to email, having to, so much so that now I'm trying to get back to not doing those things, but back to getting in touch with clients. Because over the last couple of years, there's clients I've worked with I've never met. My admin has done the whole thing. But I try to now separate that. I do as least of that as possible so I can focus on the creativity. I've had to bring on an admin. Folks to handle billing, editors, printing, and really assemble a team that can take that load off of me. So I'm not trying to do everything, and I can focus on the creativity.
Okay. Yeah, I need one of those myself.
Yeah. You know what I heard is that they made it. It was an oversimplification.
Okay.
But they said if you are producing things, never do anything you could pay. They said pay someone minimum wage to do. But
right.
If you could pay someone a fraction of what you're making doing your thing,
right?
If you could give a fraction of somebody else to take care of that, do it. It's right. Worth it. Then dividing your mental. And that's what I've learned. Sometimes I'm sacrificing a little financially.
Mm-hmm.
But if that takes that off my plate, I'm good.
Okay. So, with you doing all of this, these illustrations, books, so forth and so on, when or have you ever thought of doing your own show?
Show like
what kind of show? A creative show of all your of some of your illustrations.
Oh, it's like an art show.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Man, I've thought about it because I've spent probably 20 years, 15 plus years, focusing on realism. And so I've been accepted into juried art shows. I haven't done Art Prize, but I've done mm-hmm. Festival.
Right.
Festival of the Arts. I've gotten, won awards, purchase awards, and got to be on stage at Calder Plaza and so forth, which is amazing. It's amazing to get into a juried art show. But that's not my sole focus now. I still do a little bit of realism stuff, but I don't have the type of artwork that would be for a show. That's not what I'm producing mainly now.
Right.
So it would take a while to produce enough pieces for a show.
Okay. All right. Keep it locked right here. Liquid Lounge Radio. Liquid Lounge Radio. Still in the studio with me, Mr. Chris Dudley, world famous artist right here in Grand Rapids. So with you being, have done several illustrations of books or what have you ever done a series?
Not yet. Marcel is working on his second book, so that's mm-hmm. the series that's going to be started. But actually, I wrote a book a couple years ago, and that is a series. But it's an official series in that I've got 3 books already.
Okay.
That are written. And just to give you a little taste, the first one is Duddles in the Big Dilemma. And then there's Duddles in the Big Crash and Duddles and the Disorder.
Duddle. So that's an interesting name. So tell me about that concept of the Duddles.
Yeah, well, obviously my last name is Dudley, right? D-U-D-L-E-Y. In high school, there was a girl, we were just friends, she was cool, that she started calling me Duddles. And it was kind of a funny thing. And it kind of stuck a little bit. Again, I go by Dud. I don't go by Duddles. But that was just kind of a cool thing. And then later on in life, I was working at an office, and one of the other employees there started calling me Duddles. And so that I was like, that's interesting, and just kind of out of nowhere,
right?
And so I ended up coming up with a character and just named him Duddles. And he's kind of I wouldn't say an alter ego, a version of me to some degree. And the books are based on real life things.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Can you go any further into that real life thing, or just a touch, a hint?
Well, they're all based on some life lessons that I personally have learned that I know will resonate with people. Not just their children's books, but I like to say that I want to create books that are for children, children's books that are for adults.
Okay.
Yeah, or adult books that are for children.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah, okay. Good
some
deal.
Life lessons.
Right.
That wasn't the intent, but that's kind of just worked out in telling the story.
Okay. Gotcha. Kind of it kind of puts me in the mind frame of a Pixar movie.
Okay. Yeah.
So with a Pixar movie, even though it's for kids, adults can grab and take something away from that.
Exactly.
You know, so it just kind of puts me in that mind frame right there. Any other great projects that you've done throughout the city?
I'm trying to think here. What's the other project? Well, we've done actually a lot of logo designs for a lot of local businesses.
Okay.
And so, again, that's where, like we talked about earlier, I've had to kind of assemble a team because we had some creative ideas, but you can't do it all by yourself. And so we kind of have a division of Chris Deadly Art that handles graphic design.
Okay.
Creating logos. And that's a whole other art form, in that a lot of our clients soon come to realize that a logo is not just a picture.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Look, I may be needing a new logo myself here soon. Hey, so tell me about some of your independent artists or independent authors that you work with.
Well, I love working with authors that they have a great story. We're at the point now where we are picky about the manuscripts that we take. We don't just take a manuscript because you're paying us to illustrate it. But I have to really like and fall in love with the manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
And like I mentioned earlier, if images start popping into my head when I'm reading your manuscript,
right?
Okay, we'll quote on it.
Okay.
If not, you know, it's not for us. But I love working with authors that they've got a great story, great idea, but they may not have a vehicle for getting it out there.
Right.
It's hard to get into a traditional publisher. And so, actually, my oldest daughter, she actually put together a team and established a publishing company, Hudson Dawn Publishing. She's worked with, I think, 8 or 9 authors already just within the last couple of years. Got 4 or 5 more already in the queue. So that's really been growing. So we use them for publishing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. And you said this is your daughter?
Yes. Yes, my oldest daughter. Yeah.
Okay. And what's her age?
She is 19.
Okay. So she's off and running with the publishing company.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool, actually.
So
she's teaching me some stuff a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I look at it like this. I'm like, if you let them go and they excel in it, they're definitely going to teach you some things.
Exactly.
You know, so that's a great thing right there.
Yeah.
So representation in artwork, how does that work for you?
Well, there is a lot lacking. You know, it almost sounds cliche, but, you know, I have to say it, is that when I was young, reading books at Madison Park Elementary, you didn't see a lot of little brown kids in a book. And so it's so cool, man, to be able to draw characters that look like me when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, now I tell all of my clients this, is that the children's books that are about slavery or about black history or about the color of your skin or whatever it may be, those books are awesome and have their place. But I really love working on books that are just about a kid, maybe playing with their dog, flying a kite, playing outside, and they just happen to be black or brown.
Okay.
That's my love.
Okay. So stress-free imagery.
Yeah. class.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. So keep it locked right here. Grandeur Media right here with Liquid Lounge Radio. Liquid Lounge Radio. Chris Dudley, what's going on?
Having fun with DJ Metro, man.
Man, you're the guy with the creative hands. Let me say it like that. Hey. The Mr. Fingers.
Enjoy making stuff, man.
So I know that you do a lot of illustrations or what have you. So tell me about logos and the process of thought process before you even start a logo. Just tell me a little bit about that.
Well, what we will do, we'll have a meeting with the client to kind of do an interview and a review of what they're trying to accomplish. There's a whole package basically in interviewing them as far as getting where we're going to start, basically. Obviously taking into consideration what the business is, the industry that they're in, how things need to look for that particular industry. And then we think about every possible use of the logo. Is it going to be embroidered on a polo, put on a t-shirt? You got to be able to put it on a business card that's 2 by 3.5 inches. Now everybody has social media, so it needs to work also for your avatar, that little bitty circle when you go to Instagram. That's how you know it's a good logo. And so oftentimes we have to educate the client, because sometimes they'll have an idea or something they put together and it's like, let's, and then when we explain how it needs to be used, they get it.
Okay.
They get it.
Okay. Yeah, because I know the average creative person will kind of do their own somehow.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can tell.
I did that too.
So you can tell the difference between a professional logo and a someone that's just doing it.
Exactly.
You know, so, I mean, I look at it, you know, from an artistic standpoint, even with photos. I'm like, yeah, okay, go ahead and shoot it with that iPhone.
Exactly.
But I was just explaining this the other day. I say, you know, a person was saying, well, we could design this on the phone. Shoot it on the phone, so forth and so on. And I say, yeah, you could. I say, but then you're stuck at that very, very low resolution and you cannot enlarge. You can't go up.
Exactly.
If you start high with a professional camera, so forth, you can always bring that down.
Exactly.
You just can't go up.
Yeah.
You know, and it took them a second, but they finally got what I was trying to explain to them, you know. So logos kind of... they kind of rule the world these days as far as imagery, and you know what product is what or what brand is what. So how important is it for each company that's out there or even entrepreneur to have a great logo to be successful in their presentation of their goods?
Yeah. Well, with that, just to speak to what you just said about the size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to get on anyone, but if someone is offering you to do a logo design and they design something for you and then they email you a JPEG, they have no idea what they're doing.
Okay.
You should be receiving a vector file.
Okay, yeah.
Which is created with mathematical pathways and all of that. So you could put it on the side of a building or on your Instagram icon. And so an oversimplification, but a good rule of thumb is, does your logo read well? That means the silhouette of the logo. Mm-hmm. Not just the text, but the silhouette of it. Does it read well very big and very small?
Mm.
If it works both, it's usually on the right track.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So most people probably wouldn't know what vector is. So tell me about the program that you would use to create a vector logo.
Okay. Well, we have, as I mentioned, we use Creative Cloud, Adobe Creative Cloud Suite. So you have Illustrator for creating logos. But as I mentioned, we use Apple products as well. So we use the iPad. We also use, there's a program called InkPad that also where it allows you to create vector graphics as well.
Okay.
So we kind of use both of those in creating things for clients.
Okay. So
logos in particular.
Okay. So in your other creation, so I want to go back to the painting world. In your painting, are you or can you create lithographs and things of that nature for sale or for distribution or what have you?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I have done a lot of work that ends up getting printed. Uh-huh. With books and so forth, I've done a lot of editorial stuff. We've got some medical stuff coming up.
Okay.
Of explaining medical things from a children's standpoint. But with regard to painting, I generally would tell people I don't know how to paint.
Okay.
And that's just what I would say. But I have dabbled.
Okay.
I have dabbled. You touched on Ilya a little bit. She messed with me about painting more.
Okay.
And so I wanted to practice at least. And so I started practicing and actually got hired by a company to do some paintings.
Okay.
And with my schedule, at first I wasn't going to take the project on because it's just an ongoing project. But I thought that it will force me to practice. And so I've successfully done that. And actually, I wanted to share this work, but I didn't want to put it onto my website, like in the illustration stuff. So what I ended up doing was creating another Instagram called CDA Pets. And so I post them there just so some people can see.
CDA Pets.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's my paint practice.
That's your paint practice.
Yes.
Painting pets.
Yes.
So the end user, they would, or the client rather, would supply you with a photo.
Yep.
And you would take that photo and practice, if you will.
Yeah.
And so
paint to practice.
So how many practice attempts have you had? Let's ask that.
I think I've painted probably about 150 of them in the last year or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're almost a pro then.
I don't know. I still think I'm learning. Man, I still think I'm learning how to draw, to be real with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel pretty decent and confident in my skill set, but I'm learning every day.
Okay. So is there anything else you want to get out to the general public regarding any of your projects or things that you want to accomplish or things that you would like to see?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned about the pets, that's kind of a little side just project where I'm dabbling with painting. But my main Instagram is Chris Dudley Art. And so if anybody wants to follow the development of projects, I post things there. Also, my website is chrisdudleyart.com. And as I mentioned, we work with authors illustrating books, but I'm also connected with a publisher that I've worked almost exclusively with now, mm-hmm. and that's Hudson Dawn Publishing. And so they're hudsondawnpublishing.com. And there you'll see a lot of books that I've illustrated. And also you'll see some of the authors there. They work with about, I think they launched 2 or 3 years ago, and they've already worked with about 10 authors.
Okay.
Yeah. And many more already in the queue. So
okay. Now, would that be authors here in the city or outside, or both?
All over. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't done any international authors yet, but New Jersey, California, Houston, Illinois, some other states. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been cool.
That's pretty. So you.
But a lot of local authors as well.
Okay. So you and your team, you guys are pretty busy.
Yes, very busy.
Okay.
It's fun, though.
Okay.
It's
fun. Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, Chris, it was definitely great having you here. Hope you can come back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, glad to be back in the studio with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Give us some more information. And just come on and matter of fact, come on and do a show with me one day. We'll just hang out.
Okay. Definitely.
And kick definitely. It. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds like fun, man.
All right. Good deal. So, once again, Liquid Lounge Radio, Chris Dudley Art. Make sure you guys check him out. And give us your website again for Chris Dudley Art.
ChrisDudleyArt.com.
There it is, ChrisDudleyArt.com. Make sure you guys check that out. Peace.